Japan, that would be a weird way of thinking.
Right.
Like, why would someone rip someone off? Because it's not a thing in Japan. I've never heard of someone here getting a cell phone stolen. But in England, a lot of the unhappiness does come from public transport. A lot of the unhappiness in your life. And the opposite is true in Japan, that a lot of happiness does come from public transport.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Citizen Reporter. I'm Mark Fonseca Renderu, sometimes known as Bicycle Mark, and today I bring you the hacker, teacher, philosopher, my friend Matthew Dons, and we're looking at Japan through the eyes of this man who understands this nation, respects it, and has lived there for over a decade now, especially as he compares it to what he knows and what he remembers well from his native UK. Japan, just to quote Matthew here, it's the kind of place where, quote, anyone could and should live. And he goes on to say a lot more, but I'll spare you until the recording. But as a man fighting for his life against a relentless cancer, in this conversation, Matthew pulls no punches, although it bears saying he never really did. So this fall, like last year, when this battle of against cancer was beginning, I went once again to Tokyo to see my friend and to talk about what we've always loved to talk about and do, podcasts and documenting what's going on around us. So we're going to walk around his part of Tokyo, Machida, and we're going to talk about everything and anything, especially what we call the hacker mentality versus the Japanese spirit. There's no one better to compare these two things than the man himself, who's been such an important part of the hacker community most of his life, I'd say. So here we go. It's a fun conversation. You can follow along looking at pictures on your podcast playing app. I'll add that little option for those of you who have that. If you don't have such an app, I do recommend Pocket Casts. That's my favorite. I don't know, the iTunes, Apple podcast player might serve your purposes. Anyway, here we go. Matthew Dons and I in Tokyo just a few long weeks ago.
As a hacker, you see layers of everyday life that regular people don't see because you know, hackers tend to be very interested and knowledgeable in infrastructure.
Yeah, a hacker would want to know how the trick works.
Yeah.
And still be able to enjoy it, I think.
But also, in a train station, a hacker would be interested in all the different layers of systems you have that make the trains run on time, and the social hierarchies, and how they can be subverted through social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
A very kind of different way of looking at things. And when systems are explained to hackers, or hackers find out about systems, there's often an assumption on the part of the hacker that you can't trust anyone in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So a typical example of a technical example of this would be in Japan, when you pay by credit card, you verify with a PIN, as you do in lots of European countries. In England, we call this chip and PIN.
Right.
In the US, chip and PIN is unusual.
It's starting. Yeah.
You often pay using the magstripe.
Not anymore. Yeah, it's changed. But it's in the process. Yeah.
A lot of Americans with a credit card don't have a PIN. So Emmanuel and Kyle have been, last year they went off to Iceland,
right,
and they've recently played the Iceland shows on their radio show Off the Wall,
mm-hmm,
and they had lots of issues trying to buy gasoline with their credit card, and it would be asking for a PIN, and they didn't have a PIN, and sometimes the reader would accept any PIN,
right,
any number, often it would just reject it. Now, for a hacker, when we talk about the chip and pin system, the first thing a hacker says is, how do you know that the reader is trustworthy? Mm-hmm. Right now, the bank, when the bank talks about chip and pin, they talk about how secure it is because the reader checks the card. Is this a genuine bank card? And they say, our system is secured because it checks to see if it's a genuine bank card. You know, it does some cryptography. It will have some algorithm where, you know, maybe the chip has to do something. Mm. The hacker looks at it from the completely other point of view. It says, hang on, I'm going somewhere, I'm paying with my card. How do I know it's a genuine card reader?
Yeah.
Why should I trust the card reader? And in fact, it turns out that with chip and pin, the card doesn't verify the reader. The authentication is all in the other direction. Okay. So you could be somewhere, pay in a cafe, and the waiter could bring out a fake card reader, and it's stealing your card data, emptying your bank account, or, you know, overcharging you, or whatever it is.
Right.
So with a hacker, when you look at systems, we always think, let's assume we can't trust any entity in the system.
Right.
Can you still make a system that's secure? You know, if everyone is potentially trying to be the attacker, can we have a system that's robust enough?
You know,
a bit like a double-blind medical trial where the patient doesn't know whether they're getting the medicine or not, but nor do the doctors and nurses giving them, because you don't want them to unduly influence the patient.
Which, not the medical one, although maybe perhaps similar, but it does remind me, like, we start off today talking about how people think in Japan and treat things around them, the assumptions that they operate under. And then we've talked about now a little bit on the hacker mentality. And it is interesting to me that there's almost they're on opposite sides in a way, Japan and the hacker mentality, only in the sense that if the hacker mentality is you can't trust, I don't know if that's summarizing it too simply.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You have to assume that there are threats, right? Yeah. Don't be naive. Whereas in Japan, in everyday life, obviously we're talking about everyday life, there is an assumption of trust.
Yeah, there's an assumption people aren't going to break something.
Right.
You know, if I do some gardening, I'll leave the gardening tools outside if I'm going to continue gardening tomorrow. In England, I would have never considered doing that.
I love this whole series.
You just wouldn't.
They might. There are places. Yeah, yeah.
In England, when you see we're just passing a gardening truck. Now, one of the things, if you look at the truck, you will not see a sign telling you that it's empty at night. In England, you would always see a sign saying, no tools left overnight. Because
right.
You're trying to tell people it's not worth breaking. There's no point breaking into my vehicle.
Right.
You're not going to get any tools.
Yeah.
You have to say that.
Sure. In Amsterdam, there's the symbol in a shop. You take the cash drawer, the plastic part, empty, and you put it in the window and you close up the shop at night.
Oh, that's so interesting. So talk about card payments. In England, we often use debit cards to pay.
Sure.
And people think that this is for convenience of the customer, but it's not. It's because the shops, particularly supermarkets, really don't want to be dealing with cash because they can get robbed.
And they don't trust their employees either.
And they exactly don't trust their employees. Yes. So you could say the hacker mentality is a very cynical view of the world.
It is, and I never thought about that, because we always...
And it's just the opposite.
Yeah, we always preach that it's such a good thing, and it can be, the hacker mentality.
Yeah.
But if we ran everything in society that way, I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the... Diffie. What's his name?
Diffie.
What's Diffie?
Person? It's
Whitfield Diffie or something. Okay. So you know the Diffie-Hellman key exchange, right?
I don't.
Diffie-Hellman key exchange is how you do a digital signature, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's this idea that, you know, the real world example would be, I want to send you something, and it's encrypted somehow.
Oh, yep.
And I can't safely give you the password, because if I could, there'd be no need to send you the encrypted message.
Right.
So the Diffie-Hellman key exchange is an algorithm where you pass encrypted message back and forth a couple of times, and this allows you, using public key cryptography, to, you know, verify that you are who you say you are.
Right.
And it's used for PGP, particular privacy, GPG, GNU Privacy Guard, this kind of thing. And I guess things like SSH and TLS, secure HTTP.
Yep.
And there's this kind of clip of Whitfield Diffie talking about what he sees as a huge problem of you're gonna call someone, you call a call center, pay by credit card. He says, how can I trust this stranger I'm talking to? I'm giving them my credit card details to make a flight reservation or whatever.
Yeah.
How can I possibly trust this person? And in Japan, that would be a weird way of thinking.
Right.
Like, why would someone rip someone off? You know, I've probably told you this example before. There's an English teacher. I went to university with him, Mark Rebuck, and he was teaching at a university here in Nagoya. And he had a little clip from a BBC radio program, and he was doing it with his students. And it was about someone, their cell phone gets stolen, they go and report it to the police. And it was, you know, some whole bunch of language points. And the big problem he had with the students was they couldn't understand why someone would steal someone's cell phone. Because it's not a thing in Japan. I've never heard of someone here getting a cell phone stolen. I just haven't heard it. Just why would you do it? Like, why would you steal someone's cell phone? What happens?
Expressways straddling the giant cities of modern Japan from every quarter are now the massive symbol of this secular state's achievements.
You get on the train is expensive, it's late, the staff are rude.
No,
of course you can justify.
I was thinking about it a whole different way. You're unhappy with your life. You don't know it. Some people don't even know it, but you act out, therefore. And you could even be a teenager, and there's this unhappiness within teenagers that gets expressed, or this need, whatever it is, that's not being met, and therefore I could do this.
Like, yeah, but in England, a lot of the unhappiness does come from public transport. A lot of the unhappiness in your life. And the opposite is true in Japan, that a lot of happiness does come from public transport.
Wow.
That, you know, you can live here without a car.
Sure.
If you're in a large city, very, very comfortably, you know, in an hour, you can be in the mountains because the trains are so good.
Yeah.
The trains are reasonably priced here.
Yeah.
They're going to be clean. They're going to be nice.
Yeah.
The staff are polite and helpful. Whereas in England, you know, I mean, you go on a train, and it's going to be a battle, and the staff, if there are any, like, often the staff hide, particularly when things go wrong. This is like a little shrub, just public shrine.
Came across a very nice looking shrine, which I'll take a picture of and I can include in the album art. See, I'm old school. I still take photos that I include in the MP3. And I like to think that there are people that appreciate it. I know I do. I like it.
But here, just in someone's house, they've got a little shrine as well.
A mini shrine. It's harder to capture. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the blue roof house. Yeah. Is this a park? Is it the park, I should say? Oh, it's just someone's house.
You can go and play there if you want to play in the pod.
No one would stop me. You're in my house, sir.
Some solar panels here.
Right. All right.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Weird houses.
Oh, yeah, I should snap a shot. I don't think I have any graveyard photos. Oh, this is interesting. I guess you can take your bike down?
Oh, yeah, bicycle here. Yeah, very pleasant path here. So this originally went to a doctor's house.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been the doctor for the local area. Had their house here on the left, I believe.
Ah.
There's a little plaque at the bottom that explains. Yeah. Now you see, if this was England,
stop
be covered
it.
In trash.
It's not true.
There'd be
it's
needles here.
You've been away too long.
Porn mags, you know.
Nobody uses porn mags anymore.
The porn fairy does. Yeah. That was the thing. You walk in a path, walk in a forest in England. The porn fairy has left some magazines for you.
What else are forests and paths for?
Yeah, exactly. Drug taking and porn. This bamboo is gorgeous.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's bamboo that's as thick as my leg.
Yeah.
And
taller than a house.
Yeah, indeed.
And then growing...
whatever that is.
Yeah.
I should know, but can't do it. Yeah, it's interesting how the... it's not just a garden, right? This is like
a
serious plot of...
Yeah, this is a bit of urban farm.
Yeah. With the only real purpose for a CD anymore, to scare away birds.
Some of these are playable. I wonder if some of these are pornographic DVDs, in fact.
whatever happened to all of Japan's pornographic DVDs? Yes. They're in gardens.
They're in gardens scaring away crows and things, aren't they?
Rightfully so.
And here we have a water treatment plant.
Ah, all right.
Rather embarrassingly, this water treatment plant actually uses power. Most water treatment plants are a provider of power.
Okay.
I don't know what they've done wrong.
Yeah.
But we visited there on an open day.
Ooh.
Eight years ago, and they said rather embarrassed. So that's why this water treatment plant has tennis courts on top. Usually, a water treatment plant would have a swimming pool next to it using the excess heat. But for some reason, the design is wrong, or they get the enzyme mix wrong or something.
Okay.
But this is a net user of power.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic for us, because it meant after the Tohoku earthquake and meltdown and tsunami, when there were rolling power cuts around Tokyo, our area never got power cuts because we were connected to the power grid here. And they couldn't possibly turn off the power because there'd be no water treatment.
Okay, I thought you were going to say that there were
protected.
Rolling water outs too.
So we were protected from the power cuts. It's very cool. And now this house here has a little bit of land, and it's got a cave.
You have your own cave, and a fantastic garage.
But can you just see?
Yeah, I see a cave. Yeah,
it's a cave.
There's a cave.
I've never had the courage to kind of walk in there and have a look, but I must.
It could fit a small human.
Now, here we have a notice board.
Right, just on the street, behind glass.
And it'd just be smashed in England.
Stop, you gotta stop.
A little bit.
You can't. Everyone's gonna hate this program. They're gonna yell and complain.
Good. Move to Japan. If anyone doesn't believe me, just move to Japan.
Not everything. Look, I don't know about England. I don't know.
I think it's disgusting that people don't move to Japan.
But
if you
well, Japan needs their help, actually.
Well,
so that's going to get interesting.
I just think, you know, if you're in the privileged position of being able to live in another country, come and live in Japan. Really,
well,
so many people would love to be in your position.
But hang on.
You know, you've got Maddie. A U.S. passport.
Someone who has one.
Someone.
Yeah, we know I'm supposed to live in Japan. I know.
Has a U.S. or a British passport or a European passport.
It's all
move
easy.
To Japan.
Well, okay, but a couple of things. Now, if I lived in Japan, some things I don't tolerate, I don't look forward to. It is crowded. I get tired of all these people. So I'm not a Tokyo guy. I know this.
Mm. Well, I mean, I technically live
Right. We're walking.
We're standing in Tokyo.
One car per
criminal going past on a bike despite disguised as a tennis player. He's got like a bag.
I like the idea that he is a criminal.
And one car has just gone past.
Yes. No, you're right. So this is already a beginning.
When we're in Tokyo.
A solution to my concern.
Technically we're in Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're on the edge of Tokyo.
Right. You're definitely
many,
in a
many
suburb.
Tokyo people live in a suburb of Tokyo. But, you know, we're in the suburb of a suburb of Tokyo.
Yeah. And it shows. It shows there's green. There's people have actual houses, not apartments.
Yep.
That's already a difference. So there's that. Now, in an era of global warming, first, there's no escape, really.
We're just about to walk to the worst place I know around here.
It's cool.
And it's still better than most places in England. So we're gonna go down like a side alleyway thing.
Now,
for me, this is one of the worst places I've been in Japan.
Wow, the asphalt is uneven.
It's a bit uneven.
And the green growth is kind of not controlled.
Occasionally, you'll see an abandoned bicycle here. I once saw like a dying cat here.
What?
And I had to give it some water.
Yes, you did. Cause, yes.
And
wow.
You know, for
this
me,
this is messy.
This is really bad.
This could be in New Jersey.
And yet,
this right here.
I would prefer this to almost any place in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah. Generally, this is kind of
this is exciting.
Bad for Japan.
Yeah.
If you look at schools here, especially around Tokyo, many of them are poorly maintained. You know, there really is a shortage of money for certain things.
Really?
It does seem.
Oh, okay.
We have problems in Tokyo with the overcrowding means, for example, that universities are not allowed to build in Tokyo. There's a ban on like new university buildings. So instead what happened is, and in fact Hachioji, where you went recently, presumably to change trains, that's got university campuses of 18 different universities around there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more room. So yeah, it is definitely crowded
in an era of global warming. I know it's an easy target, but this is an island and it's full of natural disasters. I came at a particularly weird time. Earthquake plus tsunami. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Plus, not a tsunami. It's a tropical storm. What do you call it? Typhoon.
Yeah.
Typhoon. You know, and that is unfortunate, right? That's. I mean, everywhere you live these days, you're going to have your risk of one of these.
Yeah.
Or more, or different. But it is a big concern. I would be concerned as a person living in Japan.
Yeah, I think in Japan they're handled particularly well. So there was a news story today in the New York Times. I forget the journalist, maybe Hiroko Tabuchi. I'm just guessing, sorry if that's not your name.
Are we gonna get the sound of water now?
And she was saying about this journalist was writing about Kansai Airport, so that's the airport in Osaka.
Yeah.
It's on an island and part of it got flooded. So lots of airports are built on islands because there's not, well, two things. First of all, there's not room to build them elsewhere. And also, if you have a plane crash, it's good if the plane crashes into the sea. So just the passengers die. It doesn't crash into an urban area.
Okay. Let's acknowledge water sound. Okay, go on.
Now, what was interesting was in the article, there were some quotes from kind of American engineers saying, oh, it was so stupid to build a airport on an island, so low down, etc., etc. And the Japanese engineers who were quoted were angry about this and saying, it's not like we just built this airport and leave it there. You know, we take measures to make sure it's safe. So the land is sinking. Mm-hmm. And some idiot in America had written a paper saying by 2058 the airport will be underwater. Well, first of all, it's not going to be an airport there in 2058 because it's only 2018 now. Mm-hmm. I believe 2058 is 40 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very unlikely humans are going to be flying around in big airplanes 40 years in the future.
Have you seen how slow human behavior changes?
Well,
yeah, but okay.
Yeah, particularly in America, where they managed to discover trains and then forget them.
Yeah, or humans who had the Concorde. Not to say the Concorde was such a fantastic plane,
Concorde was.
And we went backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. And the Concorde is a particularly upsetting case because there was an accident, had nothing to do with the fact that it was a Concorde. It hit something that had been left on the runway.
Oh.
That ripped up a tire caught fire, set the plane on fire. Nothing to do with it being Concorde at all. And
whole
unfortunately,
piece of technology discontinued.
Yeah. Although supersonic flight is coming back, it does seem. Now looking into, the main thing is how do you deal with the sonic booms? Because the thing about Concorde was it had to take off and immediately fly over the sea. You weren't allowed to fly it over land, which meant it could only be used at certain airports that were right next to the sea.
Okay.
Anyway,
the airport in...
So the headline of this article said something like, Kansai Airport was a disaster waiting to happen, something like this. Now, what's interesting, of course, is it wasn't a disaster. Some people got trapped in the airport overnight.
But no one was harmed.
Japan is very, very, very good at handling this kind of thing. The earthquakes here are serious.
Yeah,
people die.
One.
It's very sad. But a big earthquake in Japan, and it sounds very nasty, but might kill 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
A much smaller earthquake in somewhere like Indonesia
would do worse.
Death toll is massive because you have... You know, all the mismanagement.
Right. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of preparation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Infrastructure here is very good. In the US, when there's a disaster, one of the things that we hear about in the hacker community always is the lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
There's always these issues, and the hacker community always says, this is why we need our own communication infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we need ham
gathering
radio.
Gathering our own information. Yeah.
Well, in Japan, I remember when the Tohoku disaster happened with the earthquake and the tsunami and the nuclear meltdown, and there were some communication issues for a short time, and everything was fine very quickly.
Wow.
Because, Japanese engineering is just so good. Natural disasters here are definitely an issue.
I wouldn't look forward to it.
I still just cannot understand why Japanese people build houses at the bottom of mountains where they get destroyed by mudslides.
Mm-hmm, okay.
The mudslides thing is a really distressing thing because the mudslides are really caused by having a monoculture of trees here. So outside of Tokyo, when you see the big forested mountainous areas, it's just one type of tree, sugi, the Japanese cedar. Now, the Japanese cedar was planted in World War II. And the Japanese cedar is a very, very good tree for construction. It's tall, the trunk is quite wide, and there aren't many branches sticking out low down.
Mm-hmm.
The branches tend to be at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ideal for construction. You get long planks without many kind of knots in the wood where the branches were. So this was planted a lot, I think, World War II when they needed the timber, and also, or I guess even more so, kind of after World War II,
mm-hmm.
had to build all the houses. Now, the problem with Japanese cedar is the roots aren't very deep and strong. And anyway, a monoculture of trees is always bad at holding the earth.
Okay.
So a lot of the landslides are caused by having just one type of tree can't hold the earth very well, so when there's heavy rain, the mountain gets washed down onto the houses below.
Yeah.
Another huge issue with the Japanese cedar is it causes hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
And hay fever in Japan is a serious, debilitating issue.
Huh.
And there is the conspiracy theory that the hay fever medicine industry is so big that there's no incentive for the government to deal with it. Those are bats flying.
Oh yeah.
Oh, some of that. Yeah.
Bats. Also chopper.
So things like that is It's like the natural disasters are exasperated by stupid human policy.
Okay. And it's almost comforting that there's still stupid human behavior around here.
Yeah, there always is.
Yeah,
a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I do believe that conspiracy theory about the hay fever, because there is a cure for hay fever, in fact. It's not widely available or widely known in Japan. It's used outside of Japan quite a lot. If someone has very serious hay fever and they go to the doctor, they will be given treatment for it. There are two treatments. One is a series of injections. One is a series of tablets that you dissolve under your tongue. In both cases, you take the medicine over a long period of time, at a certain time of the year, and then it's a, you know, you get an anti-allergy response, and for the rest of your life, you're allergy free.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
This is almost unknown in Japan.
Yeah.
Japanese people have just not heard of this thing. It's not promoted as treatment here. Japan has a lot of protectionism in their economy, so I really can believe that, you know, the Ministry of Health has decided we shouldn't fix the hay fever problem because it would upset the pharmaceutical industry, who are selling so many over-the-counter drugs every year, and hay fever masks and eye drops and all these kind of things.
What the? That's significant.
So here we have our ducks.
That's
and
a
our
fish.
Koi.
Yeah.
Gee, loads of koi down here.
That's good. Also, in terms of the last time I was here...
This is Tokyo, remember, that you're in?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of Tokyo. It's a suburb. But you can't be a city and have cabbage or...
Cabbage, or, onions...
Yeah, sorry. You're not allowed to be a city anymore.
People walking dogs along the river.
You're just a very well-connected suburban area that has been adopted by the municipality. No, but it is wonderful, actually. I mean, I've been taking pictures... Ooh, even here. It's not wheat, but it's rice.
Like that,
no,
it?
It's a grain for sure. It's got a grainy top.
It
looks
a grain.
Wheat-like.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
Look a lot like wheat.
Yeah, take a picture since we mentioned it. Got to illustrate. And I got my wish, by the way. It's not a hot day.
Lovely temperature.
Yeah, that's been since arrival. Thinking, will I get a cool breeze? And we got it. All right. So that's a good follow-up. To people who enjoy the Tokyo discussions, it was October last year, 2017.
Yep.
I can even put a link in the notes that go along with this program. And you can listen to Matthew and I discussing Japan's economy. And we were in, what was that building in Shibuya?
We're in the Shibuya Hikarie building.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess it's kind of a fashion, what's called a fashion building.
Yeah.
So fashion building here is a vertical department store. Shibuya Hikarie is a bit different because it's actually a mixed use building.
Yeah.
So we were on the 13th floor of, I guess, a 20 floor building, and the top seven floors are all a Japanese technology company called Line.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
They're Japanese. Line is a instant messaging company.
I've been asked twice since I was here if I have Line so that someone can send me stuff.
So yeah, Line is incredibly successful because it worked on the iPhone at a time when Skype didn't.
Okay.
I think.
That's all it is, getting there first and working.
But the other thing was free to get, free to use. No advertising.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Their revenue model is complete, and I think still is completely based around games.
Okay.
And my belief is that the games are free, but there are in-game purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is maybe gifts.
Okay.
That you could buy, you know, for your friend, you might buy an animated teddy bear or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've done incredibly well. Just having, a system that's genuinely free to use with no advertising, but there are in-app purchases.
Thinking of another company that I'm always surprised to see, it's Yahoo. Yahoo Mobile. So it's amazing.
I don't know the connection between Yahoo Japan and Yahoo US. There may be almost no connection now.
But there was, right? Because I remember their auctions were very successful only here.
Yeah. And so Yahoo was so big in Japan because they were the first people here to do ADSL broadband. So when I came to Japan end of 2001, Yahoo BB launched Yahoo Broadband, and it was massive. So the Japanese phone company, NTT, they had put fiber over, I think, pretty much all of Japan.
Yeah.
And we're connecting up the telephone exchanges, or central offices as they're called in the US. So there's like a very high speed data network, so it made sense, just what they call it, the last mile, so from your ISP to you, using ADSL. So ADSL was just available here everywhere suddenly and quickly, and Yahoo BB were the ones providing it. And the Yahoo auctions thing is very interesting because in Japan we typically don't use debit cards. People are very wary of using a credit card online, but people often pay by money transfer. And I wonder if money transfer is reversible here. So usually, if you're a criminal, one of the things you really want is your victim to give you money by money transfer, because of something called non-repudiation, which means you can't reverse the transaction. Now in Japan, money transfer scene is very secure, so maybe it is reversible. You have to have the person's address to do a money transfer. You can't just do it with account number and name, or account number and sort code. So Yahoo BB, Yahoo Auctions rather, I think became popular even though they had no payment system. And, you know, we talked before about the honesty. So in Japan, I have bought things online where it's things like COD, cost on delivery.
Yeah.
So it's delivered to me and then I pay the money.
Yeah.
And I've even bought things online when they say, when it arrives, email me, and then can you do the bank transfer?
Okay.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, in England, they were just still, you know, you say the product didn't arrive. You'd sacrifice a child.
You'd ship someone a pile of garbage and ask for money. Yes.
So Yahoo Auctions is successful here. And interestingly, there's no eBay. Now, there's no eBay because there's no PayPal. Now, PayPal was a spin-off. eBay started from someone selling a broken network card, right? So this person had a network card and they tried to sell it online and they decided to take bids for it. And at a certain point, the highest bid was higher than the price of a new network card.
Were they being honest that it was broken?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was that excitement of bidding, and thus was launched the company eBay. Now, yeah. eBay was made very successful because of two things. One was HTTPS, also called TLS, which is like encrypted HTTP. TLS stands for Transport Layer Security. So, and that comes from the things like the Diffie-Hellman Key Exchange. But the other thing was PayPal. With PayPal, when you pay with PayPal, PayPal is a bit like an escrow service, I guess, because it's often called like a proxy service.
Because
when you buy something using PayPal, you're sharing your credit card details with PayPal. PayPal gives the money to the vendor. At no point do your credit card details go to the vendor.
Yeah.
Now you'd think, well, why would we not have PayPal in Japan? It seems such a great idea, which it is. But the Japanese government blocked PayPal here because one of the things you can do for with PayPal is transfer money between PayPal accounts, possibly for free or at least a very, very low transaction fee. And in Japan, as I mentioned, bank transfers are very common.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank transfers have a fixed fee, I think, like 150 yen or something. This is a very important revenue stream for the banks and especially the post office bank mm-hmm. here. So this thing of Japanese protectionism, where the Japanese government said, hang on, you can't do PayPal because people could use that for transferring money and then the banks and post offices would lose all this
right.
revenue. Right. So sadly, we don't have PayPal here. We don't have eBay here. That's one of the reasons why Yahoo Auctions is so successful.
Mm.
Very long answer to why Yahoo is here.
It's never going to be simple. Yeah, yeah. It's just funny to see it, like, you know, it has shops. Not auctions, but the mobile. Yeah.
And we do have an equivalent kind of company here, a Japanese one called Rakuten. Rakuten means like pleasure selling or something.
Yeah.
In fact, they're just head office is on this train line. Rakuten started as a web design and hosting company.
Yeah.
And they then started to provide a online storefront system, a little bit like Amazon Z Shops.
Yeah.
If you remember that when Amazon first started, you could make your own Amazon store.
Oh, right.
So Rakuten's quite big as well.
I think they have a baseball team.
Yes.
They're the Eagles. Anyway, yeah.
The Rakuten Eagles.
I have an unhealthy knowledge of baseball in Japan now. yeah.
Hmm.
All right, I can see the orange light blinking. So that only means
that
time is limited.
But how much time?
We don't know.
Why don't they have a digital display?
I can send a suggestion. They don't want to have a digital display. They want simplicity, which I understand, but you're right.
Well, simplicity at the cost of functionality.
That's right. That's our future, basically.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's a pleasure to walk around your neighborhood, especially in nature. You brought me to nature.
Yeah, so now we have some Japanese rice fields here.
Oh, wow.
These are rice paddy fields, I think.
Still time for one more photo?
Yeah.
Oh, there's all these little birds, I guess, that like the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody walks their dog. By the way, we saw something very rare. I don't know what age, but there were children running, jogging. They look like they're part of a team, but just the age group that never... thinks yep. they have to exercise in much of the world. They were jogging.
Oh, a bright blue house here. It could almost be the Netherlands.
That's true.
There's Dutch yellow over there.
Yeah. Is that the name of it? Dutch yellow. All right, Matthew, at the risk that this beautiful recorder is going to shut down on us.
What happens when it shuts down?
It automatically saves
nicely?
Where you were.
Okay.
It does shut down nicely. That's an improvement over historical devices.
Every day when I wake up in the morning, I get angry that memory cards have to be unmounted and USB sticks have to be unmounted. Like, what is that about?
Why are we still there?
Why? It makes me mad.
Yeah.
There's no technical reason for it at all. It's just, backwards compatibility with some stupid file system ideas.
I know. Like I said, humans are so slow in their changes.
Yeah, and have you heard the Buckminster Fuller theory that
the
speed that things move
uh-huh.
dictates the speed that they improve? So Buckminster Fuller said that, and I mean he was half joking, but then he gave some quite serious examples that like housing improves over thousands of years.
Okay.
And you know, bicycles improve over hundreds of years.
Right.
Cars improve, you know, over decades. And in the aircraft industry that he was a member of, you know, things improve really, really, really,
really?
Quickly.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, planes... he was half joking, but but you know, the examples he gave were serious. That, you know, if you look at this is one of the many things I dislike about Japan is the quality of the housing here. I mean, we're looking at a house that's basically a shack. Look at
it's
that.
A glorified shack.
Look at that. It's just...
Yeah.
And this... you know, this would have been built quite recently, but it's built in a style and pattern that was for after World War II, when there was an emergent, you know, there wasn't a housing shortage.
Build in a hurry.
Yeah. Build in a hurry.
Yeah. This and anybody who ever.
The quickest thing they could make.
Yeah.
And people keep building in the same way.
So one conclusion that we can also come to, besides that life here is fantastic, is that, you know, humans do silly things here as well. Hard to break them out of some of those habits.
But yeah, I mean, to a much lesser extent than other countries, I think.
Well, no, I mean, in England, they'd set the house on fire and dance around it, worshipping the devil, obviously.
Yeah.
And there you have it. A walk with my friend Matthew Dons in Machita in Tokyo. And indeed, our conversations, you've just been in on how it flows from one topic to another, from observing what's going on around us, from, discussing even conspiracy theories and some rather extreme points of view on why Tokyo, why Japan is such an interesting place. As you know, Matthew Dons is fighting cancer, and it's a very expensive battle. Go to Matthew Dons, D-O-N-S. Matthew has two T's, MatthewDons.org. Almost 900 people have helped support to help him pay those terrible bills. And there's more to this conversation, so stick with me. If you enjoy these conversations, the next program, we actually have to switch to my phone as the recorder, and things get even more interesting. So, for citizenreporter.org, I'm Mark Fonseca Rendeiro. That was Matthew Dons, and we'll be back again. See ya. Back in the old days, one of the monks came, set the thing ablaze to save it from its fame. Would you do something so dumb to set free the things that you love? Come on. I wrote a song about you. But it don't come across at all. I really love what you do. But it don't come across at all. Talking about, oh, you know it never fails. They're gonna call us out for being so sneaky in the moonlight. Tiptoe to your room, centuries are all right by. I was loving you. All of the Chinese kids are wearing their Nikes to Asia. All of the local kids straight from your favorite Daniel. I am on a bench at a Lawson, wondering if you're thinking about me. You were drinking at the Ritz-Carlton, thinking the exact same thing, yeah.
something so dumb to set free the things that you love. Come on. I wrote a song about you. But it don't come across well. I really love what you do. But it don't come across.
Music on today's podcast was by Pierce Murphy and his album To Japan. You can find it on the Free Music Archive, where it's published under a CC license. Also, audio today came from archive.org from a 1950s documentary about Japan.